separate but equal. That was a toxic ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court way back in 1896, which allowed segregation in schools until the Brown versus Board of Education ruling came down in 1954. We want equality for all when it comes to education for our children and how it's accessed. In the here and now, we have a challenge to that desire brought about by gender identity and, more importantly, how schools are addressing it. It's an obviously, at least the most, family-related issue that more schools than you probably believe are injecting themselves into in ways that create more conflict than solutions. My first guest today is here to examine this issue. She's Vice President of Parents Defending Education, Caroline Moore. How are you today, Caroline?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Got two websites for you, defendinged.org for Parents Defending Education. And within that website, we have a direct link at our homepage, is a wealth, and I don't use that term loosely or as an understatement, a wealth of information of each and every school district in the nation that has initiated, instituted, put into place gender identity policies to, as you'll see if you're in New Jersey or wherever you're listening on the stream, from school to school, there can be variables, but they all have the same purpose. And I guess, Caroline, the first question is, too, if someone is in a state like in New Jersey, for example, where they were two-faced here in New Jersey, the policy in writing says gender identity policy by schools is voluntary, but the governor and the attorney general pushed it as mandatory and threatened to take away school funds. But again, you have to put that into consideration, too, and not always yell at the schools because they might be victims in this, too, because of state mandates.
Oh, absolutely. I think you bring up a good point. A lot of this is brought down by the administrators of these school districts. And like you said, sometimes it's at the state level, whether it's the State Board of Education, they create these policies and then schools just half-heartedly kind of adopt them just because it's easier just to adopt somebody else's than to create your own. And so I think there's a problem in that. But what our resource seeks to do is, you know, raise awareness about the school districts that have these policies. Like in New Jersey, there are 142 school districts with these policies. And what's concerning about them, not only is it looking at the gender identity question, like you said, the separate but equal, but also these are parental exclusion policies. So these are policies that specifically keep parents in the dark so that if their child goes by Sally, but they're really Samuel, in the classroom, all teachers and principals and everyone is aware of this, but parents are not made aware of this. And I think that, you know, that causes a huge problem between parents and children who, I mean, some could argue is the most important relationship in a child's life. And so I think that it'll have far-reaching and deep-seated problems for years to come.
I want to read from the gender policy for the Sparta, New Jersey School District. They instituted this in December of last year. Some of these policies go back 2 and 3 years, which might surprise people too, but reading from the Sparta policy here, related to what Caroline just said, due to a specific and compelling need, such as the health and safety of a student or an incident of bias-related crime, a school district may be obligated to disclose a student's status. Moving forward here, those measures may include the facilitation of counseling for the student and the student's family to facilitate the family's acceptance and support of the student's transgender status, which sounds like a mutual cooperation, all parties concerned, all parties involved. That's a wonderful thing. But I read on here, students who do not want their parent, guardian to know about their transgender status shall be addressed on a case-by-case basis depending upon such factors as the age, grade level, and maturity of the student involved. I read that, Caroline, because I can go through other districts too and find generally but different wording the same ideas. And also, by the way, that paragraph about students who do not want their parents, guardians to know, that's about three quarters into the policy document. That isn't even first and foremost. So you know, if you want to be conspiratorial, are they thinking maybe they won't read this far and won't know about this?
No, absolutely. I think it's also like a manipulation of words and whatnot, because like you said, at first glance, it's like, oh gosh, this is great. You know, everyone's working together to get a child ahead. But in reality, no, we're working against the parent.
And as well, too, these are blanket statements. It's making it sound like, well, every parent of every family with every child who finds out about this is going to threaten the life of their kid. which is not true. Well, first and foremost, we're not dealing with, by a school-by-school basis, we're not dealing with a large number of students, first and foremost, that have the gender identity question come up into their personal life decision, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to call this. But to also insinuate that every parent is going to have a violent reaction to that, that's not exactly a positive picture the school's painting either.
No, absolutely not. I think that they're using the word safety as we think of, you know, like violence or something like that. They're using that against, you know, parents or the child's guardian. And, I mean, my gosh, if there is such a concern that every child in the school district can't go home and be safe, I mean, then we've got, like, much bigger issues at hand. I think the days have passed of parents, you know, being very upset about this. I think that most logical people would either go seek guidance from, you know, a religious figure or go to counseling or something, somehow work through this as a family, as opposed to having, you know, any effects that would, you know, harm the safety of a child. I think that that's very drastic.
So Caroline Moore, who is the Vice President of Parents Defending Education, defendinged.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I should have mentioned, too, since I referenced the Sparta School District, there was actually a former student who ran for the school board and won because of his objections to the policies I just read. And I found that a very interesting reaction, too. So maybe change has to come from within.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's, you know, putting these school districts on our website is just the first step in a series of steps. I think that if you see that your school district is on here, or if you think that, gosh, my school district seems to be keeping things from me and it's not on here, send us a note. We have an email address, info@defendinged.org, and we're accepting tips from parents all the time. We get about 200 tips a week, and so we're constantly adding to this list. And I think that, you know, like you said, things come from within. I think if you see your school district on here, your school, then that makes you aware as a parent. We're just exposing the issue, and you need to figure out how to work with the teachers and the principal, if these policies exist, to try and figure out how you're going to get your kid through and know what's also going on in their lives, whether it's running for school board or going to school board meetings, or whether it's just like creating a better relationship with the teachers that these policies are being pushed on. I think that, you know, the power is really in the parents. I think that they really have to step up to the plate.
And it's not that difficult to gain that empowerment, because whether it's by mandate or voluntarily, the schools are posting their policies online. And as you mentioned, you have compiled them all. And if someone's listening, you just want to go to your immediate local school district, well, they don't always make it the easiest to navigate on their websites for a variety of reasons, but they're there, and you can read them completely. It's not a huge multi-hundred-page document. I want to turn to one because I mentioned that this is not a new concept that schools are addressing. And one school, the Edison School District in New Jersey, actually addressed it back in 2019, which I believe was before any mandates came down from the state, and regarding parental notification. Their policy reads, and this is about halfway through the document, there may be instances where a parent of a minor student disagrees with the student regarding the name and pronoun to be used at school and in the student's education records. In the event of a parent objecting to the minor student's name change request, the superintendent or designee should consult the board attorney regarding the minor student's civil rights and protections under the NJLAD. So Edison brings in lawyers on top of the teacher school administrators in the state, so they're just going to add to the pile. But with the idea of constitutionality, have people been questioning whether these policies are constitutional?
Yes, you know, I think that you bring up a great point. I mean, I think that a lot of these districts, you know, as the more intense these policies get, it becomes a parent's rights versus a child's rights thing. And, you know, parents have the right there's case law going back 100 years that says parents have the right to direct the upbringing, education, mental and physical health of their child. You know, that is a right that you have as a parent. And given that these are minor children, you know, the rights really belong to the parents. And so parents need to be involved in everything that's going on with their child, especially in a school. And I think when you talk about bringing the lawyers involved, I guess I've worked at Parents Defending Education for a little over a year. And before this, I mean, I'm a product of public education my entire life. And I guess I never thought much about school districts having lawyers on retainer, anything like that. All of these school districts have lawyers on retainer, and they are using, you know, taxpayer dollars to fund these lawyers. So I think that it's in the best interest of parents to know what's going on in their school district and know that sometimes the response they're getting from, you know, a principal, if they're inquiring about surveys in class or if they're inquiring about these gender issues, and you're getting a response back that seems very, you know, has a lot of legalese in there, it's because they're copying and pasting it directly from what their lawyer is telling them to do. So they're, you know, adding, like you said, more barriers to entry for parents by bringing the lawyers in. And I think it's, you know, it's troubling. And so it's just really good to know what's going on in your district.
Change for you listening. Change without a doubt can be confusing for some, stressful for others, positive for many people at the same time. But when it involves your child, involvement as a parent, that is the must. That is the must have, must be able to keep, must not have interrupted. But as you can see, and you can go through the websites at defendinged.org, the various schools, just to get a compare and contrast. But I want to urge you as a parent, find your school district if it's on this list. Read the complete document. That's the way to empowerment. That's the way to clarification. That's the way to avoid conflict, whether it be through misunderstanding or unacceptance or whatever point you wind up landing. Without the correct factual information, you might be landing in a very painful spot, and the victim will be your child. Find out more at defendinged.org. She is our Vice President, Caroline Moore. Caroline, thanks for the work that your organization is doing to remind parents about the tools they have, their responsibilities as parents, and giving a wake-up call for the schools, too, that they are being watched and they are being observed and they are being reported and studied and corrected whenever is possible in the variety of ways that are possible. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.